you and welcome to our program today of Faith, Family, and Freedom. I hope that you enjoy every aspect. I hope that you can relate to what we're trying to do. Pastor Jack Treiber is out of the North Valley Baptist Church there in California and has done, from all reports, a wonderful work. Today he's doing a tribute or maybe a commentary on the late J. Frank Norris, who was pastor out in Fort Worth, Texas, and also in Michigan. At times controversial, but let's enjoy Pastor Jack Treiber right now.
One man discovered his journey. I introduce him to you tonight. His name was Frank. Frank was born on September the 8th, 1877 in Alabama. He was born into a drunkard's home. His dad would drink and would beat Frank unmercifully. Frank one day was on the way home from school as an eight-year-old boy. Two well-dressed boys came up, and they were sons of bankers. And they said, as they laughed at him, he was shabbily dressed, and "Your daddy's a drunkard." "Our dads are bankers." He went home, and mother forced it out of him. And she found out he was crying because the fact that he was called a drunkard's son. Assuring young Frank that it would be okay, son. One day, you're going to wear good clothes. Most of all, one day, God is going to use you to be a great man of God. It was Christmas time in Frank's home. His father wasn't yet home, but he decided that he'd make it a very good Christmas for his daddy. He didn't want his daddy to be drunk that year. He gathered up all the liquor out in the barn he could find throughout the house, and Frank poured all the liquor away. Father came home that Christmas Eve, already drunken. And he said, "Where's my liquor?" Frank said, "Well, Daddy, I threw it away. I dumped all of it so we'd have a good Christmas." The father was enraged. He took a heavy whip, and the butt of that whip, he began with that end to whip his son. Blood is all over that boy's head and face and body. Mother rushed in and sought to stop it, but there was no stopping it. He left. The father left, and the doctor came. Said, "I don't know if Frank will make it through the night hours." In the morning, he did wake. The doctor said, "He will live, but he'll never be the same. He'll be an invalid." Father came, and he was now sober that morning, and he said, "Oh, son." He said, "Son, I'm so sorry. Daddy didn't do it. Daddy didn't do it. The liquor did it. The liquor did it. Please forgive me." He said, "Oh, son, this liquor has ruined and wrecked my life. I would beg that you would grow up one day and go up and down this country and preach and speak about the wickedness of alcohol." Frank had a very unusual upbringing, being raised in that drunkard's home. In 1889, there was cattle rustlers in the area there of Texas. And they came to shoot his daddy. But in the midst of it all, Frank was shot several times as a young boy. He made it through the night and he made it life. But again, another setback for the young boy by the name of Frank Norris. We know him as J. Frank Norris, pastor, America's pastor at that time. J. Frank was saved in an old brush arm meeting in 1890. Shortly thereafter, he was called to preach. He at first kept it a secret, but eventually told his mother. And she said, "Well, son, I knew from the time that you were 3 months old that God was going to use you to preach his word. Even before you were saved, I asked God to make you a preacher." Everyone in life, as he became a preacher, they either loved him or they hated him. There's no middle ground with J. Frank Norris. He advised presidents. He advised Winston Churchill. He was the one that gave direction to World War II. He pastored a great church in Fort Worth, Texas. It became the largest church in America. Over 5,000 people would come every Sunday, come back on Sunday night to hear what they called the Texas Tornado preach. A church in Detroit was without a pastor, and they called him. They said, "We want you to pastor." He said, "Well, I'm already pastoring the church." They said, "You can do both." Both those churches were America's two largest churches. You did not know if he was going to be in Fort Worth or if he was going to be in Detroit. What a mighty, mighty man of God. Both church grew to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, and he ministered to both at the same time for 13 years. Norris is what we would call a fighting fundamentalist. He fought the liquor crowd. He fought gambling. He fought the communists. He fought the courts. He fought the liberal theologians of the day, and he would fight them. One day on a Sunday morning, he announced in his church, "I am going to tonight expose a man in this church that is living in sin and immorality. His wife doesn't know it, but tonight I'll call his name." They said that afternoon, 13 men came to his office and said, "Please, don't put my wife through this. I want to confess I've been living in sin." He was fearless. J. Frank Norris Church had the great radio ministry and towers, the large, large choir, the big, huge adult Sunday school classes and the small children's classes and the great seminary and then the college institute. And he produced men and women for the gospel ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider the journey of J. Frank Norris, as a child, it wasn't a very pleasant journey, being beaten by a father repeatedly, seeing your dad embarrass you publicly as a drunk. But he loved his father. He did have a good mother. And young person today, I don't know your background. Perhaps there's not a father or not a mother in your home. Perhaps there is drunkenness. Perhaps there's drugs. Perhaps mother and dad are not in your life. And we could hide behind the fact that I have an excuse. I have a reason not to turn out for God. I have a reason not to find my journey in life. But the truth of the matter is, we all have things in our lives. And we could say we're going to allow that to derail our life. But you still have a journey. You still have a race. You still have a course to run. And it is our prayer that this week, as we speak about the journey ahead, you realize that God has a wonderful course for you.
The late 20 River Boys, as far as I know, they are all deceased now, but they had the sweetest harmony that you will ever hear. I mean, when they sang, they had rhythm in their voices and their enunciation and how they presented a song. It's tremendous. And they have two songs. We very seldom do that. But I thought you ought to enjoy the Swanee River Boys, a group that was legendary in its own time. And they're singing in the first song, "Up to the House of the Lord." And the second song is "The Hand."
Here's a group with a style all their own. Let's welcome, please, the Swanee River Boys singing "Up to the House of the Lord."
There's an old-time gospel meeting going on for us all in the house of the Lord. Oh, come on, brother, come on. Let's all go up to the house of the Lord. Come on, brother, come on. Let's all go up to the house of the Lord. Where friends all get together and they shake each other's hand. Where they learn the ways of the devil as well as the ways of the righteous man. Oh, come on, brother, come on. Let's all go up to the house of the Lord. Come on, brother, come on. Let's all go up to the house of the Lord. When the choir begins to sing
the sweetest song to bless the sweet, the preacher opens up the book and starts reading from the word. To love thy neighbor and
Jimmy's all in the good book duty. Carols, come on, come on, and let's go up to the house of Pharaoh. Come on, brother, come on, let's all go up to the house of the Lord. Come on, brother, come on, let's all go up to the house of the Lord. When the choir begins to sing the sweetest song, Jesus, how sweet. The preacher opens up the book, starts reading from the Word. To love thy neighbor as thyself, the good book do declare. Oh, come on, come on, and let's go up to the house of prayer. Oh, come on, brother, come on, let's all go up to the house of the Lord. Come on, brother, come on, let's all go up to the house of the Lord. Our friends all get together and they shake each other's hand, where they learn the ways of the devil as well as the ways of the righteous man. Oh, come on, brother, come on, let's all go up to the house of the Lord. Come on, brother, come on, let's all go up to the house of the Lord.
Thank you very much. And now a brand new song we call a ballad gospel song called Touch Me.
Touch my eyes, oh Lord, and I can see. Touch my ears, oh Lord, and I can hear you. Touch my lips, oh Lord, and I can speak through. Oh, touch me, Lord, please do. Give me eyes that I may see, give me ears that I may hear, let my heart be right so I can know when you are near. Touch these hands, oh Lord, and they'll work for you. Oh, touch me, Lord, please do. Give me eyes that I may see, give me ears that I may hear, let my heart be right so I can know when you are near. Touch these hands, oh Lord, and they'll work for you. Oh, touch me, Lord, please do.
We'd like to thank the Suwannee River boys. That was just wonderful, boys. Thank you so much. And ask you if you would stay for just a moment. You know, being a minister, we do sermons. Yes, and we'd like to bring you a short sermon today, but in a different way, in song. May we tell you about the man.
Yes, you can talk to the man. He's got time, he'll understand. He's got shoulders big enough to cry on. Tell all your troubles, take your time. He's in no hurry, he doesn't mind. It matters not how bad you've been. You can talk to the man. If your troubles seem too great, His back is strong. He'll gladly take the weight of your cares. He's used to that. Perhaps you've met him, but let him down. Don't be ashamed. Come back around. 'Cause you're always welcome in to talk to the man. Yes, you're always welcome in to talk to the man.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. I want to share with you at this time our one of the more recent interviews with Real America's Voice. This has really been a gigantic step for enlarging our coast, as Jabez prayed there in the Bible, for us to reach a greater audience. I hope that you might appreciate and enjoy the interview with Ed Henry and Karen Turk, Real America's Voice.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our friend Andrew Phipps. I think we find him, if I have this right, in Knoxville, Tennessee, in the great state of Tennessee, not Indiana, this morning. Good morning, because his granddaughter, Hannah, received her doctorate in veterinary science this past Saturday. So congratulations to new graduate Hannah.
Well, thank you, Ed. Thank you, Karen. It is quite an accomplishment for our family, and we certainly are very proud of Hannah, her parents, her husband. It's been wonderful, and I appreciate your pleasant remarks there in her behalf.
Well, we appreciate you and your whole family. And I don't know if you had a chance while you were waiting to listen to Carol and Ryan, but it made me think when you texted me about your granddaughter, about all of us, you know, with families, have got a daughter in college, might want to join a sorority, and now this trans agenda. You've got a man trying to live in a sorority house with women and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. This is nuts. This is nuts, well, this agenda.
Well, Ed, we are reminded in Holy Scripture that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I think we're seeing that in every facet. I'm just going to cut to the chase. As best I can determine, the Democrat Party in its ideology, philosophy, or you might call in its statement of what they endorse, it's completely off track. It is godless. It's anti-family. It's anti-freedom, anti-common sense. And the abnormal is pushed to the nth degree. How much more are we going to take in this direction? People that are scholarly, people that are educated, and if you're not education, you know the difference between a man and a woman. This is ludicrous, and I abhor, I detest what the Democrat Party represents.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at the chat. I'm reading all of the comments, which is flying right now. We have like about 4,400 people in there, and they are just all up in arms over this story, you know, talking about their grandkids, their sisters, their family members, people that could be affected in a situation just like this.
They should be up in arms about it. And I want to pitch forward then and let you react to that, Andrew, if you want. But Caroline wrote this to us, and I'll put it up on Getter. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. James chapter 1, verse 12. Now, that could apply to a lot of things, but I'm thinking about this trans agenda. I'm thinking about the border crisis right now. We've been showing pictures this morning, and we'll show more. Andrew, where there's an invasion at the southern border, and this administration is now about to lift Title 42. El Paso has become a refugee camp. What has happened to our country?
Well, incompetent leadership, and not only incompetent leadership, but leadership that has the wrong priorities. Joe Biden is a crook. Donald Trump told us that he was a crook. It's very evident he has lied, cheated, done whatever to promote his lavish lifestyle, as far as I can tell, through basically his 40-some years of being in Washington, D.C. I would believe him as far as you can throw him. And I think James Comer and, of course, Senator Grassley out of Iowa, I've met those gentlemen, and they will be tenacious. They will hang in there, and I believe they will present the facts. The main thing is going to be, do we have enough in the media? You know, Real America's Voice leads the way in promoting truth, but do we have enough of the other media that will join in and shine light on this incredulous situation?
Well, let's hope so. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I think, as I've said earlier, 2024 is the Trump recount.
The Trump recount.
He said that before. I like it. That's his tagline.
All right. You're going to have to trademark that, my friend. Congratulations to Hannah and your whole family. I look forward to seeing you next week.
In Holy Scripture that at one time we were aliens, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, without hope and God in the world. But Christ Jesus has broken down the middle wall of partition, and each one today that comes to Him by faith, sorry for their sins, trusting Christ as their only hope of salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope today that you have done that. I hope that if you haven't, you will consider it today. This is the day. We have no promise of tomorrow. Let's join in on the little video clip prepared for you. Because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. So said the great apostle Paul when appealing to Caesar. He did not say if we could get a new law passed or a new king on the throne. He said, I am asking for the hope of Israel. If there is any hope or consolation for America, it will be for the hope of Christ. If Christ is not recognized as our only hope, we have no hope. I do not believe for one minute that a new stimulus, a new commission, or a restructured government bureau, or any political party will become our solution. The new Green Deal is not what will save this planet. It is for the hope of Christ that we have been blessed as a nation. As believers, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we assume that our hope rests just in ourselves, that we alone determine our fate, it will be a very sad lesson and a hard one to learn. There will always come a king who knew not Joseph. And like Israel of old, we will go from blessings to hardship and ruin. The hope of Christ means He has the preeminence and governs in the affairs of men, and is our duty and our solution, and for sure the only one that brings blessings. And we so appreciate your participation. We get some calls, and folks have been so encouraging, and for that, we're grateful. If you would be so kind as to remind a neighbor, a friend, family member, colleague, that perhaps they would enjoy the program as well. We're just trying in our own simplistic way of reaching as many people as we can with the gospel, and also trying to spare not and cry aloud in these last days for the hope of America. And I hope that you enjoy the program. We'd like to come your direction sometime. We appreciate your support. I always look forward to this special time. I want to be with you at the next opportunity, hopefully. But until then, have a wonderful day.